Stories Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to November. This is Lawrence Simon coming at you with the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge. That's where we post a topic to podcasting.isfullofcrap. Then we challenge you to come up with a 100 word story based on that topic. And this is what you've come up with. I'm collecting them up here and putting them out there for you to enjoy. And then you're going to select which ones you think were the best. And then the winner of that little contest gets to pick the next topic. It keeps on going until a hurricane comes to kill me. Anyway, this week we've got the topic of omission that was given to us by Alma Schumann. Music that you're hearing right now is by Guy David. You're going to hear a little more from him later on. So, who goes first? That's Steven the Nuclear Man. He got the most votes this week, barely edging out two others. That's all it takes. You can find out more from Steven the Nuclear Man. The links are all in the show notes. I mentioned the link to him, podcastinggodisfullofcrap.com. Just go there. You know, read it while you're driving, while you're jogging, or while you're listening to this.
Cindy, this is Jason from work and his wife Megan. Dan ushered the two into the kitchen, away from the noises of the party. Cindy, Megan said, I saw your daughter today. She's so adorable. Yes, Dan, Jason said. She looked wonderful in that dress. Did you say you had a son, too? Where is he? Dan and Cindy glanced at each other, at the basement door, then to their guests. He's visiting his grandparents, Cindy said quickly. Let's go join the others back in the den. Neither Dan nor Cindy glanced at the door for the rest of the evening.
I don't get it. Anyway, thank you, Stephen. You can check out more from Stephen. Go to the links in the show notes. You'll see a link there. You'll click on it using your mouse, using the suck and puff straw that healthcare provider has provided you, using the power of a monkey's brain. You can go to his site. The text of the stories are also up in the show notes. So if you can't understand what he's saying, even though it's clear as day, go there. And it's just like, you know, these songs that you listen to and you think, man, that's a cool song all about spanking walruses. And then you look up the show notes and the lyrics, and you realize that it hasn't been spanking walruses for 25 years, and you've looked like a fucking idiot out there. You're shouting out, yeah, play spanking walruses, and the bandmates are looking at you like you're freaking nuts. You know, out of a crowd of like 20,000, they spot you, the spanking walruses guy. What the hell was I talking about? We've got ourselves a rookie this week. Actually, Mary tried to send something in last week. It was a little late. I'd gotten the show ready, and I forgot to record this for Mary afterwards. I'll post Mary's story as an addition tomorrow. Okay, I should have done it this week, but my BlackBerry had all sorts of other things in it, and I never looked at my to-do list. I had so many things that were coming up on alarms, I never looked at the, hey, well, you got a moment, pull something off this stack. And then I was giving myself all sorts of other stuff to do. You know how that is? You got all this stuff to do, and it's like, okay, I'll go do this. It's like, ew, I'm going to go learn curling. Ever played curling? You fall on your ass a lot until you get good. And no one ever gets good at it. Here's Mary's story.
Overwhelmed by her own bliss, she barely noticed him dressing to leave. As he softly caressed her face to kiss her goodbye, She was startled by the cool chill of metal on her cheek. Her eyes widened in shock as she stared at his wedding band. How could this have happened? Their whirlwind romance seemed so perfect. Never before had she become intimate with someone so quickly, but they were in love. He turned and walked away without waiting for her to form a question. You never asked. Rather than love, their relationship was based on a lie of omission.
Thank you, Mary. And I hope that you work out whatever issues you have with your recorder. Perhaps going to counseling would help. I mean, I had some issues with my microphone and Audacity, and we weren't speaking for weeks. Then, somebody gave me a pamphlet, and both of us went down to the church, and we talked it out. And it works just fine, and we only had to buy 275 books. No, actually, I ate 15 pies at the bake sale. Pie. You know, I never went to the Greek festival this year. Did they have one? Was it outlawed? I don't know. Next up comes the veterans. These are the people who keep coming back for punishment and pain and misery and rejection. But then I keep coming back for that every day. First up is Justin. That's my ringtone. That's my ringtone. Every time I hear it, I know somebody's calling. And who's calling now? Why, it's Justin from Space Turtle.
Meow. Space Turtle. Today's 100-word story is brought to you by the letter O. The music in today's story is titled Double O and is done by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Today's story is titled Oh Really? For no other reason than I can. Ollie ordered an ostrich omelet, but asked that they omit the onions. Oliver, the waiter, gave the order to Otto, the chef. Ollie oogled at the opulent onyx ornaments adorning Lady Olivia's ornate outfit. From outside entered an overly obese officer of the order. It seemed that Lady Olivia obviously overstepped her bounds in not obeying the parking lot ordinance. She objected to the order to offload her oversized and orange Oldsmobile out of the compact zone. After an occasion, she obliged the officer, offended. Ollie obtained his order. It was out of line. Onion-loving Otto made Ollie olive loaf.
Justin. If you want to see how many O words are, he came with this O face. Go to the show notes and you'll see how many O words he used. By the way, congratulations, Justin, on winning the skee ball tournament. Yes, I know I had 10 more points than you, but the point is, I cheated. I put these prims, like, to guide the ball up. And even with 9 balls and the prims, I still only scored 300. I didn't even come close to the perfect 450 because of these funky things within Havoc 4. I'm a jerk. Next up is Guy David. You can hear his music at the beginning, the end, and hopefully in this story. Now, he'd never take somebody's music. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, why aren't there any recipes for chirapa? Well, this may be the week. This may be the week we know what wine goes with Chirapa.
Hi there, and welcome to another weekly challenge. I'm Guy from Night Guy, the podcast that keeps you awake on the road by distorting time and making coffee. Find me at nightguy.guydavid.com. And now, I have for you part 19 of the Chirapa. Enjoy! Through the underground tunnels, he thought about his omissions. He giggled as he remembered how he omitted Harriet, the apple falling from her head after he blew it up. He smiled as he remembered how he curved Dave the Hacker into omission, starting with his ass, using his army knife. Now it was time to omit those Chirapa into oblivion. He could hear them in the distance. They were singing. Those fuckers were singing Chirapa songs. Then he could see them. He charged, spraying them with bullets from his automatic. And the song of the Chirapa was silenced. Oh, and one last thing. Next week would be the last part of the Chirapa. I already know how it's going to end, but I want to hear your version of it. I'm challenging you to write a 100-word story and in the Chirapa story based on next week's topic. Good luck!
I don't want it to end. I want the Chirapa to live. I've lost so much in my life. I lost the kitty cats. I don't want to lose the Chirapa. The Chirapa are so cute, they never hurt anybody. They just wanted to podcast. They just wanted to belong. They wanted to learn. Why? Why? I guess we need to go to Almost Shulman. He picked the topic this week. Why didn't you just make the topic killing Chirapa? By the way, that ding came from Plark. They added this ding. At least, you know, like the baby's alive or whatever. I don't know. It was Almost Human.
Robert snatched up the envelope from the FedEx man. It was bulky, solid, the way realized dreams are supposed to feel. Robert had spent 3 months assembling his proposal for the city architectural contest. It was edgy, but not so much that it would horrify the council. It would create a three-word landmark for the city, like Seattle Space Needle or Sydney Opera House. He had a source who said the judges were absolutely wowed. He pulled the rip strip. Stamped on the first page, Robert read, "Rejected for omission." And the line checked below said, "Missing applicant signature."
Oh, that's gotta hurt. Thank you, Almo. Ooh. Next up is Tom. Now, I would say something that starts with F, but it's been almost a year. Maybe after 1 year, he'll like say, "Hey, Lair, you want to go record one of these and explore the American myth?" And I'll be like, "What a great idea for a podcast." Then I'll like record 5 hours. It'll be awesome. But no. Instead, he's bringing you MIDI, which is almost as good. Almost. Almost. Tom, let's hear what statistics you have for us this week, and then enlighten us with your wordsmithery.
Hello, night people. Tom here. Tonight's story is called something. Oh, it's called Mission O. M called in 008. It had been a very busy week at MI5. 006 had been dispatched on M mission, 007 on N mission, and 008 on the most pressing of the three, O mission, and was now reporting. At one point in the debriefing, M raised an eyebrow at one salient point of contention. As 008 smiled confidently, M raised her Walther PPK, clocked 008 in the forehead. Actus nam factus rem nes mensit re, she quietly quoted Sir Edward Coke. In British intelligence, many sins are overlooked, but the sin of omission, never. 008 proved to be a Chalabi mole.
Thank you, Tom. And here's the perfect example of why you need to look at the show notes. Some of you may wonder if he said Chalabi roll, as in like ham and cheese on a Chalabi roll, side of coleslaw, maybe a root beer. He said Chalabi mole. So that kind of thing, you go to the show notes, you look at the lyrics. The lyrics. What is this, like an album? Hey man, this is the 100 Word Stories album. You can get it off of K-Tel Records. And if you act now, you can get Boxcar Willie's Greatest Hits. Dude, I actually bought Zamfir's albums long ago. They are as mystical and magical and enticing as they said on those commercials. They're great. They're wonderful. And speaking of music, I'm doing this project called the iTunes and Second Life Project, so that I'm pissing off both Linen Lab and Apple by using whatever those things are, words. And the goal is to get all of the musicians in Second Life who have music on iTunes and put their album covers and links to the iTunes buying page for each of them. And so you go to one location, and you can see all these. The beauty of it is you're going to get iTunes gift cards at some point. Somebody's going to be like, here, have one of these. You got one of them iPods. I have no idea who you are because I don't talk to you through email, and I'm completely disconnected from your life now that you're completely immersed in Web 2.0 social media Facebook stuff. So I have no idea what to get you, so here, have this. I mean, it's one step from them giving you one of those Visa gift cards, which you can just put a freaking $20 bill in the envelope, okay? And these checks that people give out, I mean, people keep giving me checks. That means I have to go to the bank. Yes, I know Bank of America is like three blocks away from where I work. I don't even have to go outside. I can go through the tunnels and go past Badelin's coffee shop. He has himself, from the Dwarven Mines of Moria, some beautiful submarine sandwiches, and you get a free diamond with every purchase. One of these days I'm going to record the adventures of Badelin, the coffee shop owner. There's actually this dude who looks like he's a Tolkien dwarf. And he's got the armor and the halberd and everything. Why are you carrying around a weapon that's more than five times the size of you? And it scrapes against the ceiling, too. And that cannot make the people at 700 Rusk happy at all. So, anyway. What the heck? Screw it. I have no idea what I was saying. You'll read about it somewhere. But speaking of the iTunes and SL project, Eva Moon, actually, I put up her album there. And it's great. I love it. Cash, cash, cash from Nigeria. Hey, want to do a duet? Just, here's Eva Moon and her 100-word story.
Hello, this is Eva Moon with another entry into the 100-word story contest. The theme this week is omission, and here is my exactly 100-word story. Alma shifted her weight on the soft surface and tried not to look at the figure before her. The weight seemed eternal as he perused her record, and she found her attention wandering. It really did look just like she had always imagined it, the imposing gates, the light. Her attention was immediately drawn back to the judge. Overall, the balance ought to be in your favor. She held her breath. Except for one glaring sin. One of omission. You didn't send in your 100-word story this week. That's gonna cost you. St. Peter picked up the red phone.
I, for one, would never condemn anyone to hell for having failed to send in a story, especially this month. It's National Novel Writing Month, and I'm not going to say whether I'm participating or not, because my writing, if I don't post my writing, then it's for another purpose, or I'll put it under another name, or I'll do something with it, especially the stuff that, you know, gets me some cash. I'm kind of ashamed of those. But you know what? You got to pay the bills somehow, right? Right. Oh, you want to know where I send those? Well, you probably read them. You just don't know that it's me writing them. Or the style. You, maybe. I don't know. I tend to write in so many different... Oop! Another plurk! I wonder who's plurking! By the way, you can follow my plurks at plurk.com/isfullofcrap. Is that right? Is that right? I think so. Maybe it's user is full of crap. I'm not sure. I'm still doing the Twitter thing. Still Twitter after all these years. Yeah, mushroom and Swiss commercial that Burger King does. Could that be any stupider? The thing, I was going to, like, say I'm never going to eat Burger King for the rest of my life, and guess what my wife shows up with that night? She surprises me with Burger King, which is like being surprised by a baseball bat in a dark alley. Oh, like, I'm going to refuse free food. And I'm not going to take the food and say, dear, I'm never going to eat Burger King for the rest of my life, and then put it down, like, the garbage disposal and run it and scream. And that would hurt her feelings, because... women are weird. Okay? you're screaming and you're crying and you're stuffing Burger King sandwich and fries and even the ketchup packets into the garbage disposal as a statement against stupid marketing and commercials and least common denominator societal preferences. And all they think is, I got you this and you don't like it. God. Which really, you know, when I'm stuffing the sweaters that she gets me into the garbage disposal. Yeah. Guess who has to untangle them? It's not like I bought the sweater. Anyway, next story is by Norval Joe. And I'm saying Norval Joe because I remembered to say Norval Joe, write Norval Joe, put it in my notes as Norval Joe, and I am going to let you know this is going to be the best Norval Joe story ever. And this isn't like Bazooka Joe. You know, Sluggo, how did you lose your eye? No, this is Norval Joe.
Hi, this is Philip, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 133, Omission. It's called Free Vacation. What had he misunderstood from the enticing advertisement? He read the beautifully illustrated pamphlet again. All expenses paid, 2 weeks in Hawaii, oceanfront condo on Maui, first class seating from any mainland airport, all at no cost. All we require is you. Asterisk. The asterisk on the word you. There was always an asterisk, and you could never find it at the bottom of the page. He searched the advertisement again, realizing with horror that the bottom third of the advertisement had been torn away. The omission of asterisk your soul was what left him standing at the gates of hell. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Dude, who the hell is Philip? I was expecting a story from Norval Joe, man. I get it wrong for a few weeks. They switch. This proves that I don't listen to these ahead of time. I listen to them as we're putting this together so that the reactions are genuine. Ooh, ooh, ooh. SL grid status. Resolved. Regions going offline. How are we going to do this? Okay. And in the last minute of the episode, Peter Nichol gets to win one for the team. Random region mystery solved. Yeah, Second Lie is back. I don't know why I would ever taken a break from it. And I don't know why I would ever come back to it. You get a little piece of my life out of this. And a little bit of piece of my own, oh, baby. All right. Got a few more to go. Got a few more stories to go. I'm glad that you're sticking with us here. It's not like you can. I really need to come up with a way of doing the chapter things so that you can just skip and get to the stories. Like here, this one by Planet X. You want to be able to skip through all my rambling and just know that at 27 minutes, play Planet X.
Greetings, Earthlings. It is I, the magnificent Planet X-Ray, gracing you with his presence and bringing you yet another 100-word story for the weekly challenge number 133. It's called Omission. Dr. Odd plugged in the final connection of his latest robot creation, and its head slowly rotated, scanning and logging each item it saw into its memory. Coming to the doctor's monkey writing staff, the robot stopped and moved towards Guy and Liana. The robot spoke.
What is your designation and purpose?
Guy just gestured rudely at the robot, while Liana offered a ripe banana to it.
I would like you,
the robot said to Guy. It was then that the doctor silently thought, I made the omission of not telling him that the robot ran on meat and blood. Thanks for listening, and make sure you stop by the Planet X-Ray Podcast. The link to it is in the show notes.
Yay! The link to it is, of course, in the show notes, along with the text of these stories and the ability to vote for your favorites. Favorites. It's being the plural. So if you like them all, click on them all. If you don't like them all, what are you listening to this for? But if you like just a few of them and you don't like others because they were mean to you, they tugged your pigtails, or like back in the fourth grade, they were like, we're going to make funny rhymes of your name. Right. Anyway, here's Ashley, who's not a girl. And this is Ashley's story.
Hi, everybody. This is Ashley. And my submission for weekly challenge number 133, subject omission, is as follows.
The title of this story is Little Johnny Comes Home. John looked across the living room into his wife's weary eyes and said,
I think the adoption agency may have omitted something.
Jessica simply stared and continued to chew on her gnawed fingernails. Suddenly, a gout of flame shot upward from the grave in the next room. Both turned to look into the baby's room. A haze seemed to emanate from somewhere beneath the crib.
I think it's time to feed the baby, said Jessica.
Both husband and wife sat in silence. Inside the crib, little Johnny purred as he slowly clawed the eyes out of his new doll.
Thank you, Ashley. You know, Nardo likes to claw and chew on his toys as well. Although, right now he's sleeping on the sofa. He's being a good little boy. I haven't opened the door up for him yet, but he'll go outside and he'll go play. Then after 10 minutes, there'll be this shrieking. Some other cat in the neighborhood will be wandering around and he's like, this is my turf. Mine! Who's next? Sorry. Okay, so sometimes I hit pause during recording and go get something to eat. Right now I'm firing up the kettle to do fresh iced tea. It's going to be delicious. Next up is Anima Zabaleta. She's been off to some grand foreign land, and she's come back. Let's see what she's brought for us.
Hello, Anima here, back from 10 days of frolicking on Planet Q. I'm at the nicest Quarrelians. If you have a chance, you should go. Anyway, here's my submission for Weekly Challenge 133, Omission, titled January 21st, 1989. Are you the next of kin? Yeah, William Tipton. I called when Dad collapsed. You his boy? Adopted. Kitty should be here. Bill's gone, huh? Yes, son. Gone. Bill was famous in his day. Played piano in jazz clubs all over. You should see the pictures. Dressed sharp, always with pretty girls. Later, he and Mom hooked up, settled down. Geez. I love that man. Treated me and my brothers like his own. We tried everything we could, son. I feel for your loss. Look, there's something you should know. I don't think your father was the person you think. Billy Tipton passed as a man for more than 50 years, and it wasn't until his death at age 74 that his adopted sons and his common-law wife knew that he was a woman. That's a major omission.
Thank you, Anima. Now, this episode is almost over, but it would be a failure on my part to allow the omission of this piece by Planet Z.
The previous administration's omission of a cabinet-level science policy advisor led to a decline in the country's standing in the fields of science and technology. As his victory celebration wound to a close, the president-elect was assembling his final choices to lead the country with him. But the selection of a well-known science advisor was downright impossible. Just then, a bald, scar-faced, pudgy man in a gray suit appeared on the jumbotron, demanding $1 billion, or he'd destroy the world. The new president smiled. Hello, Dr. Evil, he said. You're just the man I'm looking for.
And there you have it. the 100-word stories weekly challenge number 133 on the topic of omission. Thanks to everyone for sending in their stories. Those who recorded them, well, thank you even more, because you didn't have to hear that midget. And most of all, thank you, the listeners, who come to this crazy little site week in, week out, deleting all those little stories during the week so that you can concentrate on this weekly challenge, because it means so much to me that you are a part of this experience. To complete your mission, you will need to go to the show notes at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com, and you're going to select your favorite stories for this week and vote for them. Also, you're going to want to go to all these people's sites that are linked in that poll and see what else they're up to. Also, go to last week's and go to Jeffrey Heights' link. Great Heights, I'm still working on the story that I want to post to his site, and I promise that I'll have one by the end of the year. I've even got one set aside for emergencies, and if I can't get a new one written, he's going to get an exclusive on that one that's sitting there, languishing. It's a good one. I should know. I lived it. Don't you hate it when people say, and it's a true story, meaning that even if it's like a crap story, it's supposed to make it good? The music that you're listening to behind my rambling, babbling words is by Guy David, and you can check his stuff out at GuyDavid.com. I'm hoping to convince Nico Dobery and a few others to do some tracks. I want to mix things up a little. I want to start the new year off with a whole variety of stuff, like techno stuff and, you know, typewriter sounds and that kind of thing for the weekly stories, just to screw with things. And if you've listened to this whole thing instead of just skipped for the ending ramble, which I have no idea why you would do, you're also going to want to go to the clock tower at Edlow Island. If you get iTunes gift cards and you're thinking, what am I going to do with this crap? Instead of just loading up that iPod with podcasts, you might want to put some music on there. And there are a lot of good Second Life musicians that have their albums up on iTunes. So when you get these gift cards, go to the clock tower, go up to the gallery, and you're going to see all these album covers. Click on them, and you'll go to their pages and you listen to samples. But if you've heard these people live within Second Life, you can get those tracks. And you don't have to go to the 61 and poach this and poach that and all that stuff. No. High quality production tracks, and you know that you're supporting the artist. I know, you can right click their tip jar and give them 5 lindens. They're rich. And I know that Apple takes a huge chunk out of what they get, but this is for when someone just gives you a gift card, someone gives you a credit, and you're looking to do with it, you don't want to just sit around, and you're sick of Britney Spears, and you're sick of Madonna. Not their music, I mean, that's even worse. But you're just sick of them in the headlines, and you don't want to support their stupid diva lifestyles. With this, you can make a difference, because there are some musicians that are living on the edge. And I know you're going to say, well, why don't you get a job? Yeah. If only Madonna had gotten a job. If only Britney Spears had gotten a job. Instead, the stupid bastards at the record companies are pushing them on us instead of giving the world the wonders of people like Grace Buford, of people like George Michael. No, the real George Michael, not that weirdo that wanks off in public bathrooms. Although, I don't know what Lyndon Hart did. Not that I'm accusing him of it, and I've never seen him do any of that. Nor have I solicited it. Not that, you know, he's a great guy. Not meant to insult him. Okay, I'm going to invoke the first rule of holes. When you're in a hole, stop digging. So, thank you for listening this week. And there'll be more next week. Tomorrow is another wacky adventure of Abraham Lincoln. So tune in, turn on, and oh yeah. Thank you for listening. As always, keep it brief. Closing.